If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
How are you? Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Prost. I'm a geek. Yeah, I'm your geek. I'm your gardening geek. And I'm operating today with substandard headphones.
What?
Yeah, my really cool, expensive Sennheiser headphones are in my living room in pieces. Why is that, you ask? Well, I wandered in here this morning into the studio, into the Ask the Garden Geek studios. I sat down right where I'm sitting right now in the squeaky chair, and I turned on the computer to check my email, at which point the big old cat, jumps up on the table, wanders over to the Behringer mixing board where the microphone or the headphone is plugged into, got caught into the wire, jerked the thing out. The next thing I know, the cat is flying over my lap. The headphones are attached to him. I don't know how. Runs out into the living room. I hear noises everywhere, and I hear the cat screaming. I walk out there to see the cat jumping over the sofa, headphones flying over the top of the sofa with him. And the next thing you know, the headphones crash into the floor, and the cat breaks loose, runs in down the hall into the bedroom. Well, the first thing I'm concerned about is the cat. So I go, Cornelius! And I go looking for the cat. And the cat is under my bed. I go down there, and there's the cat. And the cat is, like, really mad. The cat is, like, really, really mad. I said, come here, I got to check you out. He's not moving. I reach down, and he goes, shh. And I said, okay, I'll leave you alone for a while. I come out to evaluate the headphones. He ripped one of the ear things just totally off. Well, it flew off when he jumped over the couch, and it flew in the air and hit the ground. The wire's all frayed. I mean, it's trashed. There's no fixing it. So now I am operating with a substandard pair of, well, I don't want to say substandard, but not really good pair of Behringer, same people who make my mixer, have headphones that are okay, but I'm not going to listen to Beatle music when the show's over. You know, that just isn't going to happen. So today, I get called out, and I've had this call a million times, but they pay me to go, so I went to a lady in Tampa, had two large oak trees in her front yard, and she was absolutely sure that the oak trees were going to die. Now, I told her on the phone what it was, and she just, which would save her from paying me to come out to look. But she insisted that I come out. She absolutely insisted that I come out. And what she told me was that there was webbing all over the trunk of the tree and on the big branches, and it was everything. And I said, what you need to do is walk out to the webbing and kind of press it in a little bit. When you press it in a little bit, you'll see a whole bunch of little tiny black bugs crawling around underneath there. And, you know, that I said, and that's, you know, I'll tell you what that is. And she goes, no, I'm not touching it. You have to come out. You have to look. I said, okay. So off we went. And by the way, winter's over here. This is like, I'm recording this on the 15th of February. Winter's done. It's been in the 80s now for days. I'm delighted. Trust me. Winter was good, but I'm glad it's gone. So I drive, 23 miles over there. Find the house. There's the two trees. And her neighbor's trees are affected, and the neighbor's coming over. And she said, what are you going to do to get rid of it? I said, nothing. And she said, what is it? I said, it's sosids. She goes, what? I said, sosids. Well, they're killing the tree. No, they're not killing the tree. Well, what are they doing? I said, you see all that like green, slimy stuff that's on the bark of your tree? And she goes, yeah. I said, they're eating it off of there for you. They are simply eating it off. You don't spray them. As a matter of fact, they're your friends. This is all part of nature happening. When they get all that slime, greeny stuff off, they'll go away. They will, go in and just, they'll be gone. And they will thank you very much for feeding them all the wonderful stuff. And your tree will look so much better. And my client, believe me, she said, okay, well, this is good. The neighbor lady, no. I'm telling you right now, the neighbor lady wanted somebody to spray the tree with chlordane. I am serious about this. She wanted somebody to go out there and spray the tree with chlordane. Or heptachlor, or aldrin, or dildrin, or DDT, or Dursban, or anything, she had to get those things off. And I said, no, you really don't. Trust me, this is all good. She goes, if I call the Cooperative Extension Service, would they tell me the same thing? I said, they will. Call them. Go on that thing. What do they call it? Call on the internet. And look it up. I don't have internet. I was okay. But I left. My client was happy. My client was happy to pay me. Off I went. The sosids are really happy. They're sitting there eating all the slimy, greeny fungi off the bark of the tree. The neighbor lady is terribly unhappy because she sees a bug and she wants to spray it. And this is the mentality that we used to have. I don't think we have it so much anymore. I used to have it. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. Look at me. See a bug, got to spray it. That's the way I used to be. I don't spray much of anything on my plants anymore. I if it's something that I eat, but I'm not growing anything that I eat. But if I'm growing something that I eat and there's a bug on it, I'm going to spray something on it. I'm going to spray something natural on it because that's just me. Not that chemicals are bad, but my personal choice is to go organic with the pesticides. It's just on something that I eat. So if I were growing tomatoes to eat and they got hornworm, I would be spraying, with a BT product, Bacillus thuringiensis product. But that's just me. Other people might spray it with Malathion. That's fine. Whatever. Whatever makes your heart sing. But just me, I'm going to do that. As far as all the other shrubs out and around my house, I stopped spraying them years ago. I just stopped. I let nature take its course. I let the beneficials come in and do their job. And, on my old crepe myrtles at the other house, when I decided to do that, when somebody talked me into doing that, I was a wreck. I mean, I was an absolute wreck because I swear aphids used to come on the thing. I was right out there spraying them. Aphids came. I didn't do anything. I just went out and looked at them, and I just felt pained. I just, I said, oh, man. I just felt pained, but I didn't. And sure enough, beneficials came, ate the aphids. Everything was good. Nature taking its course. Now, my lawn, nature taking its course until it got chinch bugs. Then I killed the you-know-whatsies out of the chinch bugs. I killed the chinch bugs. I used a natural product to kill the chinch bug, an old natural product that's no longer available. I used it work, but they came back later, and I used diazinon, which I happen to have. Can't buy diazinon anymore, but I just happen to have some, so I used that when they came back, and they haven't been back since. But, because the chinch bugs would have destroyed the yard. And this last year, the 2017 Michael Yard was, something that I just became overly obsessed with. I became totally obsessed with that yard. And one of the things I learned as the year turned over, and as I decided that this was the year of reinvention for me, that I was no longer going to obsess with the yard. I was no longer going to spend an hour a day nurturing and loving and doing all of this stuff to the yard. I'm going to let the yard. I got some Milorganite, slapped the Milorganite on. I had it. I didn't go buy new. I had it. So I slapped it on there. It gets that now. And I'm probably done with the yard until June, unless I sell the house. And then I'm done with the yard forever. Because I might sell the house and move to South Florida. We're still thinking about that. As a matter of fact, next weekend, we'll be making another trip down there. Or this weekend coming up. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. Making another trip down there. This weekend, I've got a speaking engagement again. Last weekend, I wasn't here on radio, and I apologize. I had a speaking engagement in Orlando. I spoke to the Podfest group over there. It was a four-day event. I was over there, and on Thursday, I spoke to a group, and I was there Friday and Saturday. I was unable to do radio, and I do apologize for that. And there was like 120 people when I was giving my talk. And guess who was sitting in the front row? And see if you remember this person. Because it took me a minute, but it finally, you know, someone had to tell me who it was. Do you remember William Hung? Was it American Idol? Is where he was on the first episode or the first season of American Idol. He came out and auditioned, and he was terrible. And because he was so terrible, he wound up on The Tonight Show and every show on television. He was everywhere. Well, he was sitting in the front row of the talk that I gave. And he was just a genuinely wonderful guy. And by the way, he's very intelligent. But I got him to come up on stage and dance. It was kind of weird. But he was just a good sport and a very intelligent man. And I was totally and completely impressed with him. So anyway, I hope you're having a wonderful week. I hope that the snow is melting where you live. And spring is just around.
Whether you travel for business, vacations, weekend breakaways, romantic interludes, or family adventures, you'll learn about unique destinations and tips to make your travel smooth, efficient, hassle-free, and inspirational when you listen to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Enjoy our fast-paced show, traveling from beaches to mountaintops, cities to fairy tale castles, whether you're traveling for business or adventure. So pack your bags and join us.
My name is Jim. I'm a veteran. I lost both legs in Vietnam. My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
I'm Julius. I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Biz Talk Radio.
I have had a very busy day today. Over in Tampa looking at sausages on a tree this morning. Then to an office in Tampa where a friend of mine who works in the office begged me to come over and look at one of the house plants in the office. And I walked in. I had my son Zach with me. And we walked in and there was this, oh gosh, it had to be 6 foot tall. And I'm going to use the common name. Well, I won't tell you what it is right now, but I looked at it and it was really leggy and it was really tall and it was, you know, in sorry looking shape. And I said to my son, Zach, I said, Zach, he said, yes, Dad. I said, how would you like to win $10 right here, right now? And he said, all right, I'll do it. I said, good. Give me the Latin name for that plant. And the woman who, my friend, who I know professionally, she's there, her husband's there, and he said, I know. I said, well, what is it? He goes, it's a dumb cane. I said, it's a Diffenbachia. And a Diffenbachia, some people call it by the Diffenbachia, some people call it the dumb cane. It's one of my favorite houseplants. But this thing, and she got this thing 2 years ago, and it was in a little tiny pot, and now she had put it up to a big pot, a 1 gallon, a bigger than 1 gallon pot, big pot, is in her office, and it was up almost to the ceiling, and she didn't know what to do. She goes, you can't prune the thing. You can't do that. And because if you prune it, all the leaves are right up at the top. Diffenbachia, by the way, it's just a really nice cat. If you have cats, that's what I was going to start say. If you have cats, you might not want to have one of these things, because if a cat bites into a Diffenbachia, it paralyzes their mouth and they can't breathe. Yeah, dogs too, I guess. But cats, you know, I learned this a long, long time ago. But there's no cats in the office, and I used to have them. You know what? I've had them at my house when I've had cats, and none of the cats ever went and bit into the thing. But I'm just, you know, throwing in a little warning. And she goes, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I said, we can turn it into a whole bunch of little plants. And she said, what? I said, we can take that one plant that you have right there, and we can turn it into a whole bunch of plants. She goes, how are we going to do that? I said, we're going to cut it down right to the base. I said, we'll let that one grow back. We'll cut it down to like an inch, and we'll let that one grow back. She goes, yeah. And I said, then we're going to take this stalk, and we're going to cut this stalk into 2.5 to 3 inch little thingies. And then we're going to put it in a flat, and we're going to lay it in the flat with soil on it. And, you know, a little bit of Rutone, a little bit of Hormoden, a little bit of Super Thrive. And next thing you know, it's going to grow roots, and then a new plant is going to come out of the top. And you can now put these all in pots, and you can do this. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, you need a flat. You know, I'm telling her everything she needs. And she goes, well, exactly what do you do? Well, when I used to teach horticulture, this is the way we taught people how to do this. We taught our students. We said you took a flat, you took the Diefenbachia, you cut it into little 3-inch sections, and you would put it into a sterile mixture such as pure vermiculite. You would use root tone or hormodin, dip it in that, and stick it in there, and then mist it every day and take care of it. And many of them will start to emerge. You know, and we would do that in the greenhouse at school. And I remember back in the 80s telling my mom about this, because my mom had a Diefenbachia plant that had grown kind of lanky, and she goes, well, I'm going to do that. And I was going to bring her flat over and some vermiculite. Well, I want to go over to her house, and I was going to bring her a misting thing, you know, the misting bottle, so she could mist it. I go over to her house. She had taken a cardboard box and cut it down to where it was like 2 inches tall, and it was, you know, good-sized cardboard box, but she'd cut all the sides, and she just threw potting soil in there. She cut the Diefenbachia down into little 3-inch things and laid them flat in the potting soil, and took it out into the front yard and stuck it underneath a shrub plant to where it had indirect light, and she watered it real well. She didn't use root tone. She didn't use hormodin. She didn't use Super Thrive. She just did that. And she goes, I said, no, Mom, that's not going to work. You know, you're supposed to do this. You got to do that. You have to make sure you put the root tone in there. She goes, no, we're just going to go with that. My mother always broke the rules when it came to gardening. And my mother was just the most fabulous gardener. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to make fun of her. And I didn't want to tell her that it wasn't going to work. You know, I didn't want to say any of that to her. So off I go. You know, I said, let's go to lunch. We went to lunch. I dropped her back off at home, and off I went. And at the time, this was in 1987, she worked in my office in Tarpon Springs. She was our bookkeeper. And I'd see her every day. And about a week later, she says, oh, you got to stop by the house. I said, why? She's just stopped by the house. I said, okay. So I drove down, you know, by the house that evening, came by, and she goes, oh, and I made chocolate chip cookies. Well, that was reason enough for me. My mother made the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. So I drive by the house. I just walk right in the front door. I walked right past the cardboard box with the diff. And by the way, we'd gotten rain. And I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, the rain's going to just deteriorate the cardboard box. And, you know, it's just going to be a mess. I walked right past, didn't even look at it. And she goes, oh, you didn't look. I said, no. She says, come on out here. Take a look at this. Every one of those things had taken every stinking one. Now, I had given her before a bunch of containers, and she had gone to the store and bought a big bag of potting soil. And she says, help me out with this. And she goes out, and she's filling all these little containers with potting soil. And she's taking these things and just plopping them in the potting soil with the little roots that were coming out and the little leaves that were coming out. She just stuck them in there. And I said, you're supposed to leave it up at the top, make it halfway. She goes, no, I'm burying it. I'm just going to have the leaves coming out. I said, it's not going to work. I learned a long time ago, don't tell Mom that it's not going to work. Because you tell Mom it's not going to work, she's going to prove you wrong. So, you know, she did that. And then we hauled them out into her backyard, and we put them in her screen enclosure by the pool along this where it got indirect light. Now, where it didn't get direct sunlight, but it got an indirect light. And the next thing you know, she had about 18 of these things that were just growing up and doing wonderful. And just doing absolutely wonderful. So she's giving them to all her friends. She's coming to the office, and there was a TV repair guy next door. She took over and gave one to him. And a friend of mine who owned a pest control company up there, he comes in. Oh, take this to your wife. She gave them all away. Just that simple. And when I told this lady, that I told the lady today with the story of Mom, and as I'm telling her that, her boss is cutting down a piece of cardboard or a box to do the same thing. And he's saying, go up to the store, get some potting soil, go get a bag of potting soil. We're just going to do this the way Mike's mom did. I said, oh, man, here you go. So that's what she was going to do. That was their project today. And they were going to have a whole bunch of Diffenbachias. So it's always fun to play with plants. It's a de-stressor. It makes you feel good. Life is wonderful. My name is Michael Kroos. This is Ask the Garden Geek.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579. 800-951-9579.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
And so here we go. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Gross. I am so tired. This has just been like a really long day. I was looking at trees this morning, at little sausages on trees. I was helping some people with house plants at an office. And then this afternoon, I helped a friend of mine, who is a certified arborist, inject some trees. More on that in a moment, because it goes to an email I got about how do I fertilize trees. And we'll talk about injecting trees here in just a moment. How do I fertilize trees? And the question was, a company had come out and wanted to deep root fertilize this lady's trees, and is that a good thing to have done? And I used to do it all the time, and then I stopped because, you know, the concept of deep root fertilization was that you go into the drip line of a tree. What is the drip line of a tree, you say? Well, I shall tell you. You walk underneath the tree, you walk out to the farthest branch, you go straight down, and the area straight down from the farthest branch all the way back to the trunk of the tree is considered the drip line. And in that area is where all of the feeder roots are at. They're actually about 2 or 3 feet past that as they expand out, but, you know, all of the feeder roots are there. And what the concept of deep root feeding was is that you would drill holes in the ground in that area, going around the tree, and you would fill the holes up. They were about 2-inch holes that are about 6 to 8 inches deep. You'd use an auger to do it. I used to do it with a steel pipe with a thick, well, it wasn't a pipe. It was a solid piece of steel. It was a rod and it was heavy. It weighed about 60 pounds. And we had it with the company I worked for. We had it. It was old. It was rusty. And I'd put gloves on and I would take that thing and I would just jam it into the ground. I'd pick it up real hard and jam it into the ground. And it would poke a hole in the ground about 6 to 8 inches down into the ground. And I would do that in several areas along the drip line of the tree, you know, kind of checkerboard it around and do all of that. Then you took a bag of fertilizer, and we used to use 888 fertilizer for oak trees and other trees. And we would take a cup and reach inside the bag, and we would use a cup, and we would fill up those holes with the fertilizer. That's what we did. And then the concept is you're putting it down where the roots are, and as it rained, the nutrients would spread out and fertilize the tree. Now, another way that we did this is we had a power sprayer that would, that had a little rod that came out, and liquid fertilizer would come out of that thing at very high pressure, and we would take that and we would jam it in the ground all around the tree, and we would put a micronutrient mix along with a liquid fertilizer. And the whole concept of that was feeding the tree. And by the way, it's how I learned how to do this 40-some years ago, is how I learned how to do it, and that's how we did it. And then sometime in the late 70s, maybe it was early 80s, I'm not exactly sure when, Texas A&M University, their horticulture or their agriculture department out there, did a massive study about roots in trees. And you have to understand the whole concept of roots. We have, there's a couple, there's three or four different types of roots in a plant. You have your main stability roots, you know, the tap root, as they call it. Some people call it that. But those are main roots that are there to keep the plant stable in the ground. There are secondary roots that come off of that, which spread out and go all through the drip line. Those are also there for the purposes of stability. And then off of those secondary roots come these fine little tiny hairy roots. And those are the feeder roots. Those are the roots that take in all of the natural nutrition for the plant. This is every plant is this way, not just trees. Every plant is this way. And what Texas A&M realized in their study is that the feeder roots for large trees were generally within the top 1 inch to half inch of soil is where all of the nutrition was taken in for trees. There were feeder roots down below that, but they were very few and far between. So the poking the hole in the ground and filling it full of fertilizer wasn't the most effective way of fertilizing a tree. The most effective way of fertilizing a tree was to do it what is called top dressing, which is you took the same amount of fertilizer, you would put it in a fertilizer spreader, like a hand spreader or a spreader that you push, and you put that amount of fertilizer all along the drip line of the tree. And you watered it, and the fertilizer would work its way down into the soil where those feeder roots are, and you did a much better job of it. Now, I will tell you that the people in the citrus industry knew this many, many years ago because, you know, and you would think that citrus trees would need to be deep root fertilized. No, the citrus people always top dress. They would take these big giant spreaders and they would go through and throw fertilizer everywhere. Well, you know, and it just would go into the soil, thus fertilize the fruit trees, the citrus trees. So we started adopting this for ornamental trees. And I got to tell you, the results were so much better. But finding a good fertilizer with minor elements, you had to buy a good fertilizer with minor elements. And that is one of the ways that you do that. Now, there are other ways of doing it as well that do not involve deep root fertilizing. They involve something that I was involved with today, which is injecting the tree. And the biggest company that manufactures stuff to do that is a company called Morgay. And they have these little syringes that look like, they look like little pipes, you know, like the smoke, there's like a stem that comes out of it and there's this thing, but the thing is sealed. And inside there are different nutrients, mostly minor element type of things. And, you know, some different types of feeding. And what you do with those is you go around the trunk of the tree and you drill little holes and you get down to the cambium layer, just a little tiny hole. You got to kind of know what you're doing. And then you take a rubber mallet and you pound these syringes, they're called, into the tree. And then the tree naturally sucks the stuff up. And you can feed the tree that way. And trees that have nutritional deficiencies love these tree injections. I mean, they are fabulous. I'll tell you, palms love them. And a friend of mine, Stan DeFritis, does a lot of palms. As a matter of fact, he does Morgay, but he specializes in palms. And he almost, you know, I think he makes a pretty good living doing that. He makes thousands of dollars doing that for universities and things like this, where in big commercial properties that have a lot of palms. But oak trees like it, camphor trees like it, all the different trees like it. And, you know, it is a wonderful thing to do. And it is very effective. Now, today, I went with a friend of mine who does not use Morgay. He's got a little, it looks like a pistol, but there is a large, and I want to call it a needle, but it would be a very thick needle, but it's very sharp on the end. And this whole thing is made out of stainless steel. And in the back is a syringe that he creates, and this guy's pretty smart. He creates his nutritional liquid that he's going to put in the trees. Now, you know, he says, I can buy some. He said, but I create my own. And he takes this device. I said, how much that thing cost? He goes, that's about $400. But you got to be strong. And this guy's strong. But I did a couple of them. Yeah, I did several of them, as a matter of fact. And he just takes it, goes up, jams it through the bark, down to the cambium layer, and then there's like a handle on it, and he just pumps it, the handle, and puts the nutrients right into the tree, and it just absorbs into there and works its way up through the cambium layer, and then there's no syringes hanging out of the tree later. He says the thing he didn't like about Maguey is you do the application now, then you had to come back, you know, a week to 10 days later and take the syringes out. So this, I don't do that. I simply do, you know, what I'm going to do. And it worked out rather well. His trees all look good. I went out and did that with him this afternoon. I got to tell you, my shoulders are aching right now. My whole upper body is aching. I mean, it takes a lot to do that. And then you're refilling the syringe and then jamming it into the tree in several different locations, shooting a little bit out in each area, and then work your way around. And he says it puts less pressure than drilling into the tree than to just jam a thing in there. I guess that makes sense. But those are some of the ways that we feed our trees. So, anyway, I'm Michael Kroos, and this is Ask the Garden Geek.
Paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show and vet help client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Biz Talk Radio.
Oh, by golly, I got an email from Michigan wanting to know what was good to fertilize apple trees with. And surprisingly enough, when I was a kid, I learned about that. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I'm the chief geek here at Ask the Garden Geek, and we are here to throw knowledge your way, to, you know, just talk about the plants. Talking about your botanical buddies. And when I was a kid, I lived off of M37 between Battle Creek, Michigan and Hastings, Michigan. There was a little town called Banfield. And as you headed west on M37, you went through Banfield, made the little curve. Right at the curve was Barney's Bar. It's still there, by the way. Still there. When I was a kid, I was told that they had the best hamburgers in the state. I never went there because I was a kid, but my dad used to go there all the time. My aunt, my uncle and my aunt Barb used to go there all the time. As a matter of fact, when we moved away, my aunt Barb went to work there. But everybody raved. All my dad's friends, they're all World War II veterans, they'd go up to Barney's and hang out and drink beer and eat hamburgers. And I, when I left Michigan in 1964, I waited 42 years before I went back. And when I went back, first thing I did was I went to Barney's and I had one of their cheeseburgers and a beer. And my dad was right. But anyway, you go past Barney's down M37, and you went down there and you looked, you know, to the right was a little road, and down that little road was Culver School, which was a two-room schoolhouse that I went to. Yeah, I'm that old. And then, you know, but before that, on the left-hand side of the road was Halstead's Groceries. When we first moved there in the 50s, Halstead's was in this one little building. And then they built like a Quonset hut big building next to the original building, and they turned the original building into Halstead's Hardware, and they turned the Quonset Hut big building into Halstead's Supermarket. That was there. When I went back 42 years, the buildings were there, but Halstead's was long gone. But the buildings were there. Brought back memories. But, you know, you went through Banfield. After you got through Banfield, you came down, you went past Culver School, you looked up to the left, and you saw the Thayer's Farm, big farmhouse up on a hill. Vic Thayer lived there. And then you found Mill Lake Road, and you went down Mill Lake Road. And as you went down Mill Lake Road, the first house that you came to on the right was the Babcock family's. They had a house that was up on a hill, kind of like, and next to it was a cliff that went off, and that was their property, and they would let people go there and dump. You had to pay them, but you could go dump your stuff there. You know, you had stuff to throw in there, and it just went down the hill, down this big cliff-like, and just accumulated. But they did that, and then you came past that, and there were woods off to the right, but they weren't woods. It was an apple orchard, and, you know, just beautiful apples, Michigan apples, right there. And there was a man there who tended to the apples and took care of them. And I'm like a kid, all right? I'm in third grade, and I'm watching him out there. And I said, so how do you grow apples? He says, well, the way you grow apples is one of the things that's very important is you don't let anything be underneath them. You don't let weeds or anything like that. So he was always constantly out there hoeing underneath the apples. He did it all by hand. There was probably, I don't know, 60 trees out there that he maintained. And then in the springtime, he went up to Thayer's Farm and went out to their barn and gathered up all the manure that and hauled it down there. And he had a big pile of it that he dried out. And he would spread that manure out underneath the trees. And that was how he fed it, was with cow manure. He just fed it with cow manure, and that's what he did. And that is all that he did, was that, except it gets better, until, I don't know, I'm going to say April. Yeah, April. He went out there with, and he had bags of stuff, and he would carry these 50-pound bags in his hand, and he would reach in, and he would grab some kind of fertilizer, and he would throw it by hand underneath the trees. And he had several bags, I don't know how many, but several bags of fertilizer that he threw out underneath there. And I said, what's that? He goes, this is what makes the apples taste good. And sure enough, and by the way, we're allowed, you know, to go get apples. If we wanted apples, just walk out there, pick an apple. It was fine. We were absolutely allowed to do that. But essentially, he had two fertilizers. Cow manure, and whatever the fertilizer was that was in that bag, that I could not begin to tell you what it was. But I remember that the fertilizer was delivered by a big truck, and they threw several, I mean, maybe 15 bags or more of that stuff down, and this guy threw it all out by hand, walked out all among the trees, and he says, that's why our apples taste better than everyone else's. Well, then as I grew up and started studying this, I realized that the fertilizer he was putting down was probably, I don't know, back in those days, maybe a 666 fertilizer. The ideal fertilizer for citrus trees would be a 468. Okay, that's going to be the ideal fertilizer, or something that looks like that. But the other thing that's vitally important for apple trees is to have a micronutrient mix in there. Now, he was getting his micronutrient mix primarily from the cow poop, because the cows at Thayer's Farm ate really well. They were all grass-fed, and they would get supplemented with corn. But the cows at Thayer's Farm were primarily grass-fed cows. I remember that he would get large bags of corn, and what Mr. Thayer did was, instead of putting it in a trough for the cows to come eat, is he threw it all over the ground. They would ride around on a trailer and throw it all over the pasture, and the cows would just go down and eat it while they were eating the grass, and they loved it. But, you know, the Thayer's cows ate really well, so their poop was filled with micronutrients. and all kinds of biological things that happened to the soil that you put the poop on top of. And that's why the apples were so good. You had your main fertilizer, the micronutrient mix that came from the poop. You don't have to do that. You can buy fertilizer with minor elements in it, the zinc, the copper, the molybdenum, the iron, all of those things mixed in with the fertilizer in trace elements, just like we take trace elements, same thing. And your apples will be absolutely delicious and wonderful. And an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I need to do that. I know a guy that's into physical fitness. He eats 3 apples a day. The guy's got a rock-hard body. I mean, you know, 3 apples a day, that seems like a lot. Ask the Garden Geek.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.